Good morning. I'm Wayne Lamb with Sedalia Steel Supply, and I'm excited to sponsor the next 10 minutes for local pastors to share with you the Word of God. I pray that God will richly bless you.
The Spirit clearly says that in the latter days, some will abandon their faith in God and follow other ways. But I have set my course, and I will make it through. I choose to walk this narrow way, the road that leads to you. I'll go the distance. I'll go the distance. Will not compromise, pressing on to win the prize in Christ Jesus. I'll go the distance.
Good morning. This is the Reverend Dr. Chad McMullen of First Christian Church in beautiful Sedalia. Check us out online at firstforgod.com, and thank you for being with us on Go the Distance this morning. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." You want to have newness of life? Acknowledge God in everything you do. I've made so many decisions in my life. Most of the decisions that I've made have been surrounded by prayer. My wife and I pray together about every decision, especially big decisions. I mean, if it's a major change like moving or buying something or changing careers or where our kids go to college or stuff like that, we're always in prayer together over those things. And I can honestly say some of those decisions were really great and wonderful. And most of them have tendency to work out. But boy, there was one decision that we made that was way back in 1998. I know that sounds like years ago, but it doesn't seem so far away. Rhonda and I, my wife, we were newly married, and we decided that we wanted a boat, and we were really excited, but we were strapped financially. We already had some credit card debt. We had other things that we were dealing with, and yet somehow we made a decision that buying this boat was a good decision. Notice what I left out. We didn't pray about this decision. Before we knew it, we had a brand new boat. Along with it, we had a payment book about 2 inches thick. It had 10 years, 120 payments. Now, I've hardly ever used that boat. I still got it today because it serves to me as a reminder of how not to make decisions. I'm convinced that had I prayed with my wife about that decision, that we would have never bought that boat. We left God out, and He let us do it. Here's the thing. God doesn't stop us from doing stupid things. I mean, I wish He would have stopped me. I wish He would have intervened. I wish He would have thrown up a sign and said, "Don't do this, don't do this." Had I prayed, He might have, but He didn't interfere. And even though God knew it wasn't going to be a good decision for us, He let us make that mistake. Now, let me ask you, why would God let us walk right into a decision that isn't good for us? Part of the answer is this. God doesn't want to control us. He doesn't want to take over for us. What He really wants, what He's really interested in, is us letting Him lead us. God wants to be involved in our lives, and all too often, we just flat leave Him out. Reading the Bible is one sure way to keep Him in the life, keep Him in your life, because in the Bible, we read of other people who leave Him out. We read of other people who've made similar mistakes, others who leave Him out of their lives, who lead them out of their decisions, others who chose their own path, who chose their own stuff, even knowing that it isn't God's will. They went ahead and made a bad decision that wasn't in their best interest. I mean, if you're really interested in this kind of thing, the entire Old Testament is chock full of the Israelites constantly struggling with this particular problem. One time, the Israelites were worried about their nation. See, their great king, Samuel, the great leader, he wasn't really a king, he was their leader at the time. They'd been living in a good land. Their land was flowing with milk and honey. just the right amount of rain. The crops grew nice and tall. The soil was rich and fertile, and everything they did prospered. They had a system that God had designed and sent down for them, a system of life together. And in that system, God was their king, and they had a holy man named Samuel as their leader. He was a prophet and a judge, but not a king. And things were good for the people of Israel under his leadership. And as Samuel got older, the people began to worry because they didn't know who would lead them next. Samuel's children didn't seem like worthy candidates, so the people decided that they would take matters into their own hands and develop a new system where they would have a king for the first time in their history. Never before had Israel had a king except for God. Now, the people wanted this king, and the reason they wanted a king was that everyone else had a king. It surely would be good for us if the other nations have a king. So Samuel, the holy man, the prophet, he warned the people. He said, if you do this, it's not going to be good. If you take matters into your own hands, if you choose your own king, I promise you it won't work out. We should leave God in control. Let God lead us. He will show us the way. And the people argued with Samuel. No, we want a king like every other nation has a king. We want to do it our way. Now, into this story, we're allowed to see into the heart of God. And it suggests that God was hurt by this. He felt like the people were turning their backs on him, and in a sense, they were. He spoke to Samuel, the holy man, and he said, hey, they have rejected me as their king. They're doing what they've always done. Give them what they want, God said. Grant them their wish. They will soon enough learn what it means to have me out of their lives. So Samuel allowed the people to choose their own king, and guess who they chose? They chose a wealthy man who was handsome. No one in Israel was more handsome than Saul, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. So the man that they picked was rich and tall and handsome. Aren't we predictable people? Those things are so predictable, so worldly, all the glitter, all the glow, everything that could distract us with beauty and flesh, things that we see with our eyes that tempt us. We get so blinded by what looks good on the surface that we don't see what God wants. And just like God had warned the people, it happened. Saul took from the people, and he 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 just kept taking from the people. He didn't turn out to be the kind of king they wanted. Unfortunately, the people of Israel are the ones who paid the price for this man's selfish leadership. Their choice to make him the king was blatant disregard of God's plan. And here's the big part. When we leave God out of our lives, the consequences are never good. It's always a mistake to leave him out. Not praying about decisions is absolutely foolish. And every one of us knows it. So why do we keep doing it? Why do you keep doing it? If you know that God's ways are best, then why do you keep taking over? What makes you think you can do this without him? For me, I think I sort of get lulled into it. Things go well for a while, and I'm close to the Lord, and I'm making decisions with prayers, and I'm waiting for guidance, and then things get to feeling like they're on track, and I'm doing so good, and I guess I start feeling like I know what it takes, like I can handle this. And about that time, I become susceptible. I become vulnerable, and something comes along that catches my eye, and I think, boy, that's a good idea. Maybe it's a decision or a temptation. Maybe it's a shiny new boat, or maybe a job opportunity, or maybe it's just something that everyone else does, or something that's culturally okay. But when I leave God out, man, when I fail to pray, when I'm not in his word, when I'm not coming to church, all of a sudden I fall into this same old trap again, and for some reason, God keeps letting me. I can hear him right now. Chad's going to do it again. He's going to leave me out. He's going to do what he's always done. Give him what he wants. He'll learn soon enough that my way is best for him. My way is the best way. With me is best for him. I preach today to remind you people here on the radio that God is not interested in controlling your life, but he is interested in guiding you. God wants to be your partner in this life, and he wants to bless you. But remember this, his ways are not yours. His ways are not the ways of this world. His ways are extraordinarily different. So my advice through this scripture text is to pray and wait. Trust in him and do not rely on your own understanding. And in all you do, acknowledge him, and he promises to make your path straight. Thanks be to God for this good news and this good reminder to keep him at the forefront of our lives. This is the Reverend Dr. Chad McMullen with First Christian Church in Sedalia. You can check us out online at firstforgod.com. And again, I feel blessed and privileged to be with you this morning on Go the Distance. Have a blessed day.
The Word of God has been brought to you by Sedalia Steel Supply, 1900 Ristler Road. Have a good day in the Lord.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to his name. Oh, to declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. The Lord hears my prayers and answers them, and I will call upon him as long as I live. This is Gail Lamb with Go the Distance. Have a blessed day.